Why do so many people know so very little about God and what he is like? Or why do so many people claim that they do know God, but they all disagree about what he is like? Wouldn't you think that if God really wanted humans to know him, he would just show himself to us? I can remember thinking that as a kid when I was trying to make up my own mind about whether I believed in God or not. I thought that would be helpful. Well, that is exactly what God did. 2020 years ago, history records that a baby named Jesus was born, whose birth had been predicted for centuries beforehand and was believed to be the Son of God, born as a human being. You can actually get on an airplane and go visit the area this Jesus was born and where he grew up. You can visit the northern shores of Galilee, where the village of Bethsaida once was inhabited, where Jesus healed the blind man. You can walk through Capernaum, where Jesus healed the paralyzed man, by simply telling him, "Stand up and walk." You can swim in the Sea of Galilee, on which Jesus was seen walking on water. You can visit Bethany, where Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. The city's now known as Alazaria, which means place of Lazarus. You can visit Golgotha, the hill on which they killed Jesus, and the tomb from which he rose from the dead. One of Jesus' closest human companions, one of his friends and disciples who knew Jesus well, wrote this about him in his book. He said, "Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in close relationship with the Father, has made him known." If you want to know who God is or what he is like, you don't need to guess. Simply look at Jesus. Jesus is not only God's Son, but he is the perfect reflection of God. Jesus believed and taught that the old part of the Bible, the first half, was accurate, including the very first book of the Bible called Genesis, which also tells us a lot about God as well. Genesis starts by telling us that God is our creator. You and everything around you were made by God. And he admitted that you turned out pretty well. Actually, he claimed that all of his creation was good. So let's take 5 minutes and read how Genesis claims God created the world through the beginning of the second chapter. You can find it on your phone, whether on the Bible app, or if you simply Google Genesis 1, or if you have a book. Look at the beginning of the book with me, starting in chapter 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said, 'Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from water.' So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, 'Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear.' And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds.' And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be light in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the way the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the sea and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. And the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Isn't it crazy to think that humans have been living a pattern of this seven-day cycle ever since this event? Fun fact, did you know that Jesus existed with God before being born a human? He was the one who actually created everything. Look back to the beginning of the book of John that we read a little bit ago from the first chapter. And he claimed this about Jesus, who referred to as the Word because Jesus hadn't been named yet. Or perhaps Jesus created things simply by speaking with his words. I don't know. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Another fun fact, did you know that you can calculate the age of humanity using the Bible? Yep, The Bible actually records a genealogy of people. That is a list of people's parents and their parents, etc. All the way from Jesus back to the very first human being, Adam. So just calculate the summary of their likely ages. Perhaps add a few extra years in for the times when the genealogies might have skipped a generation for logistical reasons. And then add the number of years from Jesus till the present, which is right around 2,020 years ago. And voila! You can study this for yourself by looking at Genesis 5, 10, and Luke chapter 3. But back to our topic, who is God? You may be wondering, if everything that God created was so good, then why is there so much bad things in life? For example, why did God create a world in which COVID-19 can exist? Or where little kids suffer and die young? Or where hatred is allowed to run rampant? The answer is, God didn't. God hates those things as much as, if not more than, you and I do. They make him terribly sad and even angry. He hates that his creation has become so broken and messed up. No, God isn't responsible for that. The third chapter of that book in Genesis explains that humans are. Go back and read the first 11 chapters in that first book of the Bible called Genesis, and you will see that humans decided to choose sin and to rebel against God, which brought death into this world. Death that would affect everything negatively, including our bodies, that would grow old and get sick and eventually die. It would affect the earth and cause it to become increasingly unhealthy. It would affect humans and animals with disease. It broke humans' relationship with God, making us disconnected and distant, to the point that today we ask questions like, who is God and what is he like? And it wasn't just Adam and Eve, the first humans to live and to choose sin. It's been all of us. We all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That's what Romans says. That's what our common sense says. We are the ones to blame, not God. In fact, God has been actively working to fight to fix the effects of our sins and to stop the pain and suffering that it brings. Do you know what all God has done to fight these problems that we have? Well, to start, he sent Jesus, his only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will live for eternity. You see, Jesus came and he paid for your sins. He bought you. You had an invoice that would take you more than an eternity in hell to pay. That is the punishment established by God at the beginning of time as the price tag for sinning against God. But God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to redeem you, to pay your expensive debt for you. That's why Jesus let humans kill him on the cross, to experience death on your behalf. God isn't just some powerful being that created everything. He is a God that loves us, and he paid for us. He's our redeemer. That's to say, he has paid your invoice for you. Why? Well, he paid for us so that we could live for eternity with him, not as indebted servants, but as friends. He claimed that if we, during this life, would draw near to him, that is to say, if we confess our sins, turn from him, and follow his commands, that he will draw near to us and will be close with us. His Spirit will live in us to guide and comfort us. He sees and hears everything that we go through. He listens and responds to our prayers. He views and loves us as a parent would their own child. Again, back in that first chapter of the book of John that we looked at a couple times, he also said this. He said, Jesus was in the world, And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent or human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to join his family. He wants you to be his friend. Several weeks after Jesus died and rose from the dead, right before he ascended into the sky to return to heaven, he claimed that he would come back one day with an army. He claimed that it is his intention to retake control over this broken earth as the King of Kings, to bring justice, to repair this earth, and to eliminate the terrible things that our sin has caused, such as pandemics, disease, and death. He will create a world safe for our families, for our kids. Anytime Jesus made a claim like this regarding the future, we humans have a hard time picturing it and wonder if he is speaking in some kind of religious code, but not literally. That's how his friends felt when he predicted his own death, or how people felt when scriptures predicted his birth. But as literally as those events were carried out, so will Jesus come in person to this planet and will take charge of all the leaders across the globe, from China, India, Iran, and yes, even the USA. He will reign, and he will be the king of all rulers and kings. Can you imagine a king who never lied, who genuinely cared about his people, who had the power to manage in a way that brought peace and wellness? You can see a little glimpse of what life will be like when he reigns in the book of Isaiah. In chapter 11, 8 or 6 through 8, referring to the time when Jesus would reign in the future, it says this: the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? But that is what God is working toward: a future without the hardships and death that our sin brought. So why doesn't he hurry up and do that then? Well, he claimed that the decision as to when is up to God, and that God has been delaying because he desperately wants to redeem more humans before he closes that door and wipes out those whose invoices are still outstanding, those whose sins are not covered because they have not let Jesus redeem them. Have you ever read Jesus' description of hell? If I read it to you, everyone in the second service would receive a text message from Ken, our children's director, warning you to make sure your children are out of the room. It's frightening. God doesn't want any humans to go there. So for now, he waits and works to draw even more to believe in Jesus, to redeem as many as will turn to him. God loves you. He created you. He redeemed you even when you were his enemy. He wants you as a friend. And he is returning one day as the King of Kings. That's just a glimpse of God. I have two final thoughts for you, and then I'll be done. Have you received Jesus yet? And if not, why not tell him that you believe in him right now? Invite him to be your God. If that's something you've already done, then I just want you to remember this. God is always good. And the future he has for you will be infinitely better than whatever you're going through right now. He cares about you.